Chapter 12, verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I've really kind of wrestled around with all this, trying to really find the mind of God, and hopefully I have. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to be holy. I'm going to say that again. It's not unreasonable to be holy and to be acceptable. The only way to be acceptable unto God is by His holiness. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And everybody said, amen. I know I should have gave him a title and a nice deal. I really should have. But honestly, and you know, I know some people, well, y'all don't know what you're going to preach way ahead of time. And so, yeah, I agree. And sometimes that happens. And it's not because I'm not studying and praying. But sometimes I don't even get it till I'm standing there on the platform sometimes. And so, but I want to talk to you today. Where is your altar? Where is your altar? Amen. Father, I thank you for this great group of young people, young men, young women that have gathered from across this great district. I thank you for them. I not only say it here today, but I've said it across our fellowship. These are some of the greatest young people on the face of the earth. And I thank you for them today, their hunger, their desire for you and the things of God. Thankful that they have a hunger to launch out into the deep. We thank you for it. I pray for the service, the clarity of mind. Let me follow your perfect will. Say nothing more, nothing less than your will. Take this service in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Confirm your word now with signs following. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Now, I know that if you've been around the district any time at all or involved in any of our district events, youth conventions, so on and so forth, you've heard people talk about the fire, the prophecy of fire. I want you to know that you are today a part of a fulfillment of an old prophecy. I'm glad that the Word of God does not die. I'm glad it doesn't. I'm also glad that the Apostle Paul told Timothy, in concern to prophecies, you need to learn how to war a good warfare. You need to remember. So sometimes we have God speak some things to us, and then it doesn't happen in a few days or a few weeks or months, and we just kind of discard it, and must have been a false prophet. And we just pass on. But Paul, of course, dealing with Timothy, the fear that had gripped Timothy, wanted to remind him, I put you in remembrance of these things. It's good for the Holy Ghost to put us in remembrance, to remind us, to bring us back to something that God has said or God has decreed. I believe in prophecy. I believe that we are a prophetic community. When you take those things out of the church, then you have basically gutted the church from what it really is and how it operates. I understand that it's not far from the prophetic to the pathetic. I understand that, and I've been around some that I wonder, where in the world did you come up with that? I do believe that operating under the spirit of prophecy, that all prophecies must be founded and rooted to our foundation. I believe that's why we are told to judge prophecies. Make sure that whatever is being prophesied is in alignment, and let the spirit of the prophets be subject to the prophets. In other words, let it all be subject to the foundation. God's not going to speak to you something that is contrary to His Word or contrary to the Bible. That's not going to happen. If you think that God has told you something that violates the Scripture and that you're some kind of special human being that can get around it, I'm glad to tell you. You are deceived. You are listening to the wrong voice. You are listening to a serpent. I thank the Lord for these prophecies. I really do. 1976, I believe somebody alluded to it last night or in the course of this convention. A.D. Spears prophesying about the fire of God coming. Several people have had the same vision. Several people have talked about it. It's been confirmed over and over and over and over. I cannot tell you the letters that I have received personally from people writing and telling me, not knowing of others that have done the same, writing and telling me about seeing this great fire of God that is engulfs Northern California, the West Coast, and then down through the southern part of California across the I-10 corridor, then up the East Coast, and then across America. You today are a part of the fulfillment of something that is going to set America on fire. I want to say it again because some of you need to get it. You are a part of the fulfillment of God's intent to set America on fire. And some of you need to understand it begins today. It begins today. Praise God. Several years ago, while pastoring in the state of Oklahoma, we were endeavoring and praying and trying to get a breakthrough. It's about the time I think that Brother Foster and I, he used to come preach for me and do a little warfare, and I'd go to Dallas and preach for him, and we got the better end of all that, I can tell you right now. But it's in that course of time that we were severely needing a Holy Ghost breakthrough. Spiritual strongholds. And if you don't think that we are in, or if you're not involved in spiritual warfare, then I'm going to open the altar and you come on down here and get the Holy Ghost. God has called us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we are in, and we do, spiritual warfare. Not here to get into all the weird mystical stuff about spiritual warfare, but we are involved in spiritual warfare. We were praying and fasting, trying to get a breakthrough. I'd come off the evangelistic field. I thought to myself, you know, if I could just preach the Holy Ghost and preach like an evangelist and preach, you know, they're going to pray through, and we'll just build a great church and everything will be fine. But nobody warned me about churches that were family owned and operated. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. They didn't warn me about power struggles within the church. I mean, it's always been. Even before Jesus died, they were fussing about who was going to be the greatest of the kingdom. Not much has changed, really. And so it was just a lot of stuff. We were very, very strongly resisted by a lot of spiritual things that have been in that area for years and years and years. I was preaching in Little Rock. I was preaching Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Little Rock. Our midweek service in Okmulgee was on Wednesday night, and so I'd been driving back and forth. I took one of the men with me from the church on that Wednesday. I went early. I said, we're going to go, and we've got a room. I want to pray a little bit. And so we got there, and we started to pray. And I told the guy, I said, you know, you can go on down to the mall down here. There's a nice place to eat down there, and you can shop. And all, I just need to talk to God. Oh, no, Brother Morgan, if you're going to pray, I'm going to pray with you. You know, I'm glad for collective prayer, but sometimes praying with people is almost like sharing a toothbrush with somebody. It's personal. So we prayed, we did everything that we knew to do. We did the prayer walk, the prayer talk, the prayer wheel. everything that they taught us about prayer. We were praying. And, you know, I understand that, you know, you can't judge a lot of things just by an emotional response or whatever. But it sure is a wonderful thing to feel and sense the presence of God when you're praying. And so we stopped, and I told him, I said, look, you know, let's just take a little break here, and you want to go on down to the mall? There's some nice restaurants down there. I'm going to stay a little longer and pray. And was in that little old motel room, and he said, oh, no, 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 if you're going to pray longer, I'm going to pray. And I knew he didn't want to do it. He just trying to impress me that he was really spiritual, I think, is what it was. And so finally, I said, okay. So I got up, and I'd sat down on the edge of the bed, and I got up, and I started to walk across a little walk area through there, just small. And now, I'm going to weird out on you, okay? So just take a Valium and get over it, amen. And I was walking across there. It don't happen all the time. But all of a sudden, I hear a wind blow. Just, I heard the wind blow. And then next thing I know, here it goes. I'm not in this room anymore. I'm kind of looking down on the earth, and I'm looking at it. It's like right here, and I'm watching it, and then all of a sudden, in my peripheral view, something caught my attention. When I turned and looked, there was a ball of fire coming toward the earth. And as it broke into the earth's hemisphere, it splintered, just kind of splintered, and just balls of fire flying in all directions. And I watched the main one, sake of time I won't go into all, but I watched it as it came and it hit in front of our pulpit in the church there in Okmulgee. When it hit, it's like an explosion. And out of it, first of all, I heard these words, the darkness will not prevail against the light. I want to serve notice on every dark spirit in California. The darkness will not prevail against the light. Praise God. I want to say it again. The darkness will not prevail against the light. And the darkness apprehended it not. Out of that came literally thousands of angels with swords drawn. And the Lord was letting me know that they that are for you are more than they that be against you. Now, I know if I start talking about devils, everybody here has seen one. Start talking about angels, everybody gets kind of weirded out. Be careful. Don't go down that road. We're not here serving angels, worshiping angels. But they are a part of God's economy. They are a part of the church. They're part of the kingdom of God. They really are. Angels ascending and descending. There's angelic activity. There's angelic activity in this room right now. There really is. And I called the guy that was there, was in charge of the service that night. I finally got a hold of him. And he told me, said, Brother Morgan, you're not going to believe this, but I was over at church this afternoon. Before I could tell him what I'd seen, he said, I got to tell you, he said, I was over at church, and I was cleaning the church, getting ready for service that night. I just studied and prayed, and I'd swept stuff, put the vacuum sweeper up. And he said, when I did, I heard an explosion in the sanctuary, and I heard feet running through the building. He said, I mean, lots of feet running through the building. And he said, I heard these words, there's nothing to fear. My angels have come. Now, I'm going to tell you, you go ahead and try to fight and get involved with the supernatural all you want to, but this is a supernatural thing. And again, I know it's not far from, Brother Tenney used to say it's not far from glory to goofy. Now, I understand we can get some of this and people go overboard and they go crazy with it. But I want you to understand, as the youth of the Western District, that this is a supernatural thing that you are a part of. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's more than dancing and singing and having good church. This is a supernatural thing that you are a part of. If you are a Book of Acts church, it is a supernatural thing that you are involved in. It supersedes the laws of nature. I'm glad for the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that operates in the church. So, that did something. And of course, you know, years later, still impacting to me. I remind myself of that every once in a while. I remind myself of that in San Francisco every once in a while. I remind myself of that in the Bay Area, the Western District. We need to be reminded that the darkness will not prevail. A few years later, I was preaching a conference in Colorado, and man, it was one of those, I mean, it was wide open. They were dancing and shouting and running and going crazy, and I was enjoying the worship service, and everybody was just, you know, being holy rollers. Amen. And we were having a great time, and all of a sudden, above the noise of that worship service, I heard that wind again. Now, I'm going to tell you, when it happens, the hair on the back of my neck starts going like this, and I'm just like, and I looked up, and this time I seen the ball of fire and hit in front of the pulpit of that church. But when it hit in front of the pulpit that time, it was not angels that came out of it, but it was young men. Now, I'm not here. I realize everybody's real touchy about gender anymore. Get over it. Either you're a man or a woman. Get over it. If you're confused, anyway. No, Mark, stay off of that. So I seen that ball of fire hit, and this time coming out of it was not angels, but it was young men, and they were bent in forward motion, like this, and they had Bibles in their hands. And they were so intent, their faces, and behind them was flames of fire. And the Holy Ghost said, this is how I will set America on fire. Coming out of the fire will be flaming evangelists. Everything that is combustible will ignite and catch on fire that they touch. I believe I'm preaching to some of you that are going to go back to your churches. You're going to go back to your schools. You're going to go back to your community. You're not going back the way that you came. You're going back on fire with the Holy Ghost. You're going back as an evangelist. I'm not talking about a card-carrying evangelist. We were having a little discussion one time in a very, well, anyway, we was having a little discussion. And they were trying to decide on, you know, with evangelists and how many times somebody should preach in order to get a certain status of license, trying to figure out a solution. And so finally, Brother Cornwell was in the meeting and he said, hey, you'd think teaching home Bible studies would be included in this? He said, I've got a guy that tried to get his license. He's taught, if I remember right, he said he's taught 30,000 home Bible studies. He said, and they kept kicking him back because he wasn't a good preacher. He hadn't preached. He said, I think that he fits what a real God-called evangelist is in the New Testament church. I know we got evangelists and all, and just hear me. So we start talking about evangelists. I'm not talking about you getting your card and traveling. What I'm talking about is you understanding that you are an evangelist to your family. You are an evangelist to your community. You're an evangelist to your neighborhood. You are an evangelist to your... You are. God needs to set you on fire and make you a flame. Matter of fact, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire here today and burn in the Holy Ghost. Ikataya Shandororohokai. A few years later, we were in another meeting. This all happened in the course of about 7-8 years. I was in another meeting, and I was down at the church praying. I said, okay, Lord, how do we... I'm headed somewhere. Just stay here. How do we get this fire? And we need it and all. And it was real simple. Just follow the steps of Elijah. And so I preached that. I preached it all over America. You know, he rebuilt the altar. It's been alluded to here. He rebuilt the altar. 12 stones. 12 stones represents the 12 tribes. What he was doing is, and I want you young people to listen, because if I can get you to understand this, because we got a lot of older folks that don't. Before they were tribes, and before they were a divided nation, they were a family. And what God is bringing them back at the altar on Mount Carmel is reminding them, before you were tribes, and before you were a divided nation, you were brothers. You were a family. And I need to tell you But that's what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Remind us. Now, just listen. Don't read into this something I'm not saying. Before we were north and south, before we were sections, before all of that, we were a family. And God is calling this district as a family to come to the altar of God. Family in the home, your church family, your sectional family, your district. That's not somebody from just another church or another section or whatever. That's your brother and that's your sister in the Lord. We are the great family and body of God. I want to say it again. We're the family of God. We need to start looking at the Western District. This is my family. This is what this is about. We are a family. And I'll tell you right now the old proverbial statement. The family that prays together stays together. It's time for this district to pray like it's never prayed before. We have a destiny. You're a part of the fulfillment of that destiny. And it hinges on us at the altar. Praise God! Follow the steps of Elijah. Follow the steps of Elijah. And so we did. I'm glad Brother Foster's here because he was very involved in all this. So we started a deal, America on Fire. And I really never, I didn't plan on it going to Crusades, but it did. And we got involved in this and all. We did San Francisco on Fire, and then we went to Dallas at Dallas on Fire. Dallas kicked us just a little bit. I got a good glimpse of what Brother Foster fights all the time. And so I come back, and I was just really frustrated. And just, this is crazy, you know. Just forget all this stuff. And, well, you can try to forget it, but sometimes the Lord won't let you forget it. Let's just forget that fire stuff, man. You get burnt when you do. And so I kind of pushed it. And then all of a sudden, a lot of those old prophecies and things. But a few weeks ago, it started again. You don't need to forget to still about this fire. And it's going to happen. See, here's what we need to understand. With us or without us, it can happen. And so, anyway, I was a few weeks ago, Brother Aaron Bounds asked me to come, and he said, you were here 9 years ago, and you spoke some things, and challenged the church, and he said, we've seen those things fulfilled. And he said, I need you to come back. I just feel like God will give you something else for our church while you're here. But I felt to go. So we went. Sister Morgan and I went. And so I got there and I got to preaching. Now, I want to tell you, am I taking too much time? I went. Here's the deal. We're doing this deal with a district called Build. And so I was writing a little booklet called Lessons from the Builders. What can we learn from people who had the ability to build in the Bible? And so I'd seen certain things coming from certain builders. But when I got to Abraham, I got stuck there because Abraham teaches us how to build altars. And so I've seen that there were four altars, five visitations, but four altars that Abraham had built. And it's amazing to me that when Joshua come into the... See, what you don't understand is the altar is also the place of conquest. And so when Joshua and them come into the land, if you study the first places that he visited, is the places of Abraham's altars. He went back to those places because this is where it all started, and covenants were made and territory was given at these altars. So I kind of got there and I kind of got stuck there, and I just kept looking at this altar deal. What in the world? This altar. And so I said, what really is it about the altar? Now, I'm going to say a couple things here. let's kind of move in this direction. You don't have an altar in your life. You don't have any fire. There's just no fire in your life. I don't care. You can fake it. You can act like it is. You can do all this emotional stuff. But see, fire, our God is a consuming fire. Matter of fact, Peter teaches us that just as the waters were held in reserve for the first judgment with Noah, the same is done with fire in the second judgment against the world. The same water that destroyed the world saved Noah. And what we have to understand is the same fire that God's going to use to eradicate all unrighteousness on the earth saves us. Just like water saved Noah and destroyed the world, the same thing happens with fire. It saves us. It purifies us. And it's going to destroy the world. It's going to eradicate all. Why, John, is this too much information? This is why John talked about he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor. See, God was separated at a time of harvest, the chaff from the wheat, and toss it up, and he'd fan it, and the chaff would blow over, and a little pile over here of chaff, and because it's lighter than the grain, and it's more shallow than the grain. Won't get into deep like real grain will. And so, and then they'd light it on fire and they'd burn it. And so that's basically what Jesus was teaching through the ministry of John the Baptist. And then he talks about that the heavens are reserved. So I'm here today to tell you, the fire is in the heavens. It's there. And a couple young men stopped me, and I've said this millions of times, but I want to remind you again of it. You can burn now, or you can burn later. But one way, you're going to burn. So I'd just soon allow the Holy Ghost and fire into my life to start burning and consuming the chaff and the unrighteousness and the things that are not pure out of my life. You got a bunch of chaff in your life. There's no fire. Let me hurry. And so I got to look at all this, and I realized, okay, this altar deal, the four altars, five visitations, and covenants established, and so on and so forth. So I was kind of in that vein. I've been in that vein with the church at San Francisco. So I was talking about these, and then I got over to this point where I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I asked Dr. Hughes the other day at our men's conference, and what a great men's conference we just had. I'm telling you, it was a great men's conference. And I asked Dr. Hughes, I said, you know, what's the deal? Because one of the preachers talking about it's the things in a man that defiles him. So how do we make sure? And Brother Hughes said it's real simple. He said it's about the altar and it's about sacrifice. He said the difference between the Old Testament sacrifice and this living sacrifice, he says, real simple. He said, Old Testament, when you killed it, it didn't come off the altar. It stayed. He said, the problem is you can put yourself on the altar today, but tomorrow it'll crawl off. He said, so this is about every day. Here we go. This is about every day you die. And you may die today, but tomorrow, trust me, you're going to have to drab. You have to drag that flesh of yours right back down to the altar and say, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die right here. Now, maybe you haven't done that and the devil's going to beat you to death. Let me tell you something. There's two things that will keep you from rejoicing. Are you ready for it? This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Two things will keep you from rejoicing. Yesterday and tomorrow. You start looking at all the stuff you did yesterday, you'll not rejoice today. If you get over into tomorrow's and start fretting and worrying about tomorrow, you'll not rejoice today. I don't have yesterday and I don't have tomorrow. I live in an eternal day. This is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Give us this day
our daily bread. If I can just beat this old flesh today, if I can drag it down to the altar and do the will of God today, that's all that matters. Hallelujah! Now I'm trying to tie all this together here and all. So I've really been talking about that. The only way. Now watch what he says. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Listen, you don't have to do much to be conformed to the world. Just live in it and you just start looking like it, acting like it, talking like it. I get tickled with the apostolics that want to look like the world. That means your flesh is alive. Talk like the world. Don't know anything about God. Talked in tongues a little bit one time. Conformed. Fads go this way and watch us. We chase after them. You can get quiet. I've preached in quiet places before. Hollywood does this, and here we go. Social media says this, and here we go. Conformed. Because that's your thinking. Just think that away. That's natural for you. That's the natural man. Just thinks that away. Am I making sense to anybody? Be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. How are you transformed? By the renewing of your minds. So if I'm being transformed, my mind's being renewed, what does that produce? That produces me to go prove. Now, if you teach those three different classes to the will of God, that's fine. I'm not... That's up for debate. To me, there's a will of God, and that's it. I'm not looking for a second will of God. I'm not looking for a lesser will of God. Either God's got his mind set on this, he's not schizophrenic. And you know, my mind is renewed. So when my mind is, how's my mind renewed? My mind is renewed because I have, you ready for it? Crucified my will. See, you can't have your will and the will of God coexist. That's division. I want to say it again. You can't have your will and the will of God coexist. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. And so I get to look at this that I might prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So I'm preaching to a bunch of young people here today. And if I know, remembering it, believe it or not, you know, 100 years ago when I was a young person, the struggle was, what's the will of God for my life? Trying to find, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. Trying to find who I'm supposed to marry. Where am I supposed to do? What occupation? What job? What education? But be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. So here's what happens. Now, I want you to remember this. Jesus didn't die at Calvary. Jesus Christ died in the garden. No different than you. He's in the garden and he's praying. Moses and Elijah have already been with him on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. They've already told him, you're going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to beat your face off. Your visage is going to be marred. They're going to beat you beyond recognition. Read it. It's in there. They talked about things he was going to suffer in Jerusalem. And now he's in the garden knowing that his time has come. His time has come. And that's what we have to understand. Our time has come. Just like Jesus, our time has come. And now he's in the garden saying, okay, if I'm going to fulfill this, here's the real battle. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to drink this cup of suffering. I don't want to drink this. I'm 33 years of age. I am in the prime of my life. I could be king. But Philippians said he made himself of no reputation. He emptied out his own reputation. I don't want to be the king like that. But if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Here is where Jesus built his altar. And you die at the altar. Die at the altar. What dies at the altar? You do. Your will dies at the altar. And you're, as long as you're doing your will, you're alive. But when you die out to what you want and your desires and who you think you ought to marry and where you think you ought to go and the occupation you ought to take, and I don't have time for that. I'm too worried about making money. I got news for you right now in this place. It's already been said. The call of God's coming to some of you while you're here, and you're going to wrestle with it. You're going to look at your options. I could do this. I could get this degree. I could make good money. I could support the work of God. But over here, something is saying, don't conform to that. I need you to be transformed. I need your mind to be renewed. I need you to die out. I need you to come to the garden with me. I need you to pray the same thing that I prayed. Father, if it's possible, let it pass. But nonetheless, not my will. Not my will. This is where he died. And as long as your will is alive and you're doing it your way, you'll conform to this world. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You'll conform to this world. But brother, when you drag yourself down to the altar, I'm not talking about just getting down there and praying a little bit and getting down and saying, ooh, I feel Jesus. I'm talking about you wrestle yourself there. You put yourself on that altar and you say, you've got to die. You've got to die. You've got to die. You've got to die. It's not what I want with my life. It's what does God want with my life. I have been chosen. I have been born for this. For this cause came I into the world. Now listen, Sunday morning at Brother Bounds, I'll preach what I'm talking to you about right now, about the altar, dying out. I already knew Sunday night, I knew Sunday afternoon. Tonight you'll talk about the fire. You'll go back and you'll talk about the fire. Okay, God, seems to be an old subject. It's an old subject, but it's a fresh thing. Talk about the fire. So we got in the service, I talked about the altar, and I talked about some things even the other night when Brother Barker was taking the offering. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost can do all. And I was talking and I was talking about we got to build this altar and we got to sacrifice and fire of God will fall. It'll fall. Now I want you to hear me. Well, I get to preaching that. And the Holy Ghost moves so tremendously. I watched hundreds of people as they came. Just piled in the altar. It reminded me of the services that I'd been in. I can remember one Sunday morning in Modesto. I preached. Now, some of you are going to get a shock. They have miracles. I preached that morning about 20 minutes on lesser altars. I talked about, we built God an altar. This was in the days of Solomon. They went to high places. They were building altars of Jehovah. But it was at the temple that God built them an altar. And God said, I'm glad you're at your altar, but I've built you this altar, and I want you to come to this altar. And the Bible says that when Solomon came to the altar of the Lord, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. They said blood was like rivers running through the streets of Jerusalem. But at the end of that altar, at the end of that day of sacrifice, God spoke to Solomon and said, I'm going to give you a blank check. I've signed it. You fill in the amount, whatever it is you ask me for, I'll do it. Somebody said that was kind of crazy for God to do that. No, when you've been to the altar and offered 1,000 burnt offerings, you're in the right frame of mind to choose the right thing. And so, I've seen it. I've seen the people come. I've seen services where people sacrificed. I've seen altars where they stack stuff. Stuff that we think we have to have. Stuff. It's getting a little tight right now. Stuff. Stuff. God got ready to anoint the first king of Israel. Couldn't even find him. The Bible said he was hid among the stuff. We got too many kings need to come take their positions, but you're hid among your stuff. I got to have this. I got to have that. And I've watched them put businesses on the altar. I've been in local church services where they've over millions of dollars. Several times million-dollar offerings would come in. I've seen people empty out things that had no monetary value but had emotional attachments and was a sacrifice. And I've watched people come and I've watched them weep and I've seen what God does after the sacrifice. After the sacrifice. So I watched that night. Those people were down the front and they were in the altar and they were weeping and crying to God. And I sat on the platform all of a sudden. You know how it is. You sense the gifts of spirit coming in. Young man across, he might have been 17, 18, it was my guess, gave a message in tongues. And as he was giving the message in tongues, it's like the Lord was letting me see some things. And this is what the Lord said. My fire is held in the heavens. My fire is ready to come. The only thing is, my fire seeks an altar. And if you will build me an altar and you will sacrifice, my fire will come. I knew I was preaching in one of those places. Now, I'm going to talk to you prophetically here for a minute. I was preaching in one of those places that I knew this is where one of those balls of fire was going to, Zanesville, Ohio. I believe Dallas is one of those places. God's already shown me the West Coast. Now, I want you to listen to me, the West Coast. Places. I've already made phone calls to people across the I-10 corridor telling them, build an altar. So what I'm up here today telling you is not just a sermon. I'm telling you what I see in the Holy Ghost. God has chosen California, Northern California. I've talked to all the district superintendents except Brother Hodge, and I plan on talking to him about us coming together and us promoting the altar and praying on the West Coast. That's where it's all got to start. It's got to start with an altar where we die out. Where we die out. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. I said this the other night at Eureka. What a tremendous move of God they're having right now. The fire of God. Prophecies being fulfilled. Listen, folks. The fact that Eureka was one of the names that was mentioned in the prophecy. We get tired of hearing this stuff. Well, you know what? Do something about it. Why don't you quit being jealous? You'd learn to rejoice with them that are rejoicing. The same fire that's fallen there might fall at your place. Prophecy being fulfilled. This is what I said. You can build an altar and you can even pray. But the fire does not fall on an empty altar. It has to have something to consume. I preached in a place one time where the pastor kept telling me, we pray X amount of time, and the man was, on the slippery slope of going into the whole crazy, whatever you want to call it. We just call it charismatic, and it's emergent, and I don't know what we call it now, just crazy. And he was moving away from those things, but he was telling me how much his church had prayed and showing me all the prayer stuff. And it kind of threw me a little bit. And finally, I said, Lord, I don't understand that. That man prays like that, and yet he's being deceived. The scripture come to me. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. They ain't spend a lot of time saying they pray, but is he a righteous man, and is his prayers availing anything? Because fire burns all righteousness. Read it. That's how come we're afraid sometimes to build an altar, put ourselves. We're afraid of what God's going to consume out of our lives. I was at a Missouri District Youth Convention, Brother Foster, when I was 16, almost 17. I was raised in Missouri. And Wayne McLean preached. I was a defensive end and a running back. And, you know, the older you get, the better you were, okay? But I enjoyed playing football. I really enjoyed it. Six kids. I was the oldest six kids. We were really a poor family. And this was my way of acceptance in school. And so I was sitting in the back pew with my friend, Steve Sturgeon. Steve was an all-state defensive lineman. He's a brute on the line. And we're sitting in the back, and Brother McLean preached that night. Who are you going to worship, the creature or the creator? Sitting back there that night, God built me an altar. I knew what he wanted. Now, you can sit there. I'm talking. This is my story. It's my story. I knew what he wanted. I wrestled with it back there. I didn't want to give it to him. Boy, it's quiet. I know I'm touching sports. I get it. Money, sports, and Hollywood, the three gods of America. Can't give $20 in the offering, but you can pay hundreds of dollars for all that other stuff. Be not conformed to this world. Anyway, I got up, I made my way down. I come to God's altar. I put myself on that altar, and I knew what he wanted. The next week at school, I went back to my coach and I told him, I said, Coach Denny, I need to talk to you. What is it? I said, I need to let you know I won't be at football camp this summer and I'm not going to play anymore. Why? I said, because I feel like I want to give myself to God. And I said, well, Mark, we're Christians. We pray before the game. I said, I know. I understand that, but I just don't feel like I could do that and live for God like I need to live for God. See, some of your wills right now are raising up. Oh, I don't like that. Get off that. The very fact that you won't even put it on the altar means it owns you. What if God wants it? It's not a matter of right or wrong. Some of the things that I do is not a matter of it's going to send me to hell. It just waits. Just waits. Just weighing me down that I can't run the way that I need to run. It's not a matter if I do this, it's going to send me to hell. I do it because it's a consecration unto God. I do it because I put it on the altar and the fire fell and God said, whatever's left, you can have. But whatever I burn up, it's mine. I'll never forget what he said. He said, that don't make any sense to me. I said, well, here's the deal, Coach Denny. I said, you've told us. He was my junior high coach, and then he went with, when I went to the ninth grade, he transferred to the high school. He coached high school. I said, you've told me all these years that football's got to be your master. You've got to eat it, sleep it, drink it. It's got to be your master. He said, that's right. I said, but Jesus said, no man can have two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other. I'll preach right here. You're going to love one, hate the other. And I said, I can't have two masters. He said, get out of my office. Get out of my office. He said, you're a quitter. You're a loser. You hear me? You start quitting now, you'll quit all your life. Now, this is just me. When I walked out of that office, I didn't feel bad. This is what I felt. I went from tackling running backs. I'm going to start tackling devils. I'll learn how to punch a hole through the front line of hell, and I'll learn how to raise hell. So
Some of you right now, I'm not bringing you to the altar yet. Some of you right now need to make up your mind. I'm putting it all on the altar. Everything goes to the altar today. God is building me an altar, and He's calling me to that altar today.
Be close.
Fire of God wants to fall. He isn't looking for an altar. He's looking for a sacrifice. Woo, that's what it's looking for. That's what it's looking for. I want you to remember something. I'm going to tell you. I felt in prayer this morning to tell you this, and I think maybe it might help some of you. I've for many years struggled. God, I just, most important thing, I want to do your will. And sometimes I've been pretty good at it, and sometimes I've failed miserably. On the concept of build, here's what you have to understand. You either construct or you destruct. Either you are constructive or you become destructive. There's no in-between in here. It takes a long time to build something. It only takes just a few minutes to destroy it. And finally, it started dawning on me. I want you to listen. Here's where it starts today. If I can get in prayer and my will die out to His will. Now listen, God has a blueprint for my day. This is how God wants me to build my life today. He'll give me a blueprint. Thy word is a lamp. He'll put me on the right path. And here's the key. You ready? Days builds weeks. Weeks build months. Months build years. Years builds a life. And all I got to worry about is today. If I can just get to that altar today, and I can just die out today, if He can just give me the blueprints that I can build and give me the building blocks and the resources, which is His grace, I can structure and I can build the blueprint, which is my life. I can build it, but I only have to worry about it. See, a lot of times you're sitting here, I don't know if I could do this for 6 months. I don't know if I could do this for a year. I don't know if I can do this for 10 years. I don't know about the longevity. Why are you worried about all that? Today. That's it. Today. If you can live victorious today, you've won. Ooh. I said you've won. Now let me go back and I'm closing. This fire is looking for some altars. Now the way it's been seen is it would start in Northern California. They've seen different flames, different places, and then it all started coming together until it ignited into one massive flame. One massive flame. Ooh. They've seen it all the way going north, and then it sweeps back toward the south. It goes down the southern coast of California, and then when it gets down to around the I-10 corridor, it starts eastward. Certain places on that I-10 corridor. Now, I want to say some of this, and hopefully I'm not too far out there for a youth convention. God has certain places that will start it. These are churches that have influence in regions and areas. And God will start there. They'll build an altar, and the altar's looking for it. Matter of fact, time. And if we don't start this, God will help us along the way. Is this too much now? Seen it go across the I-10 corridor. And I called Brother Kinsey the other day. I said, Brother Kinsey, listen to me. This is very important. And he said, you know, it's funny you're telling me this because this weekend we're going into spiritual warfare. He said, I've called people in the church for Friday night, Saturday. He said, we're doing nothing but fasting and praying. And we're seeking God. We're hungry for a visitation of God. Brother Tuttle, I've never put all this together, but you may be here by divine reason. Because I think you're on the I-10 corridor, isn't that right? You're on the I-10 corridor, and there may be a reason why all hell's breaking loose. There has to be strategic places that understands a responsibility. We are going to die out and to do the will of God. We're going to empty ourselves out, our ways, our ideas, what we think, how this is all supposed to happen. And I feel like we're starting to get disattached, so I'll close. We're going to have to find these places. And it's not just in churches, but it's also in the local church. There has to be key people in that local church, key young people in that youth group that become, what's the word I'm looking for? A spark. God's going to set me on fire. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to do His will. I'm going to be one of those flaming evangelists. This is where it begins. This is where it starts. It's already started in Eureka. It's starting some other places. There's other churches already. They're building altars. I'm asking you, do you want to be a part of that? You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Do you want to be? Now, I'm serious. Do you want to be a part of what I'm talking about right now? Do you want to do the will of God? That's what it's all about right now. Something's getting ready to happen in this building right now. Something's getting ready to explode in this building. I'm telling you. Where is your altar? Better yet, where is God's altar for your life? Woo. We just need some key young men and key young ladies that will catch it. We just need some key churches that will catch it. We've been called of God. We're going back and building some altars and putting a sacrifice on it and believing God for the fire of God to fall. I don't want to make this mystical, but if you could see above this building right now, if you could see in the heavens, you'd see flames of fire waiting. Destiny waiting. What's your name, son? What is it? Mike? Can I call you Mike? Mike, you know what's above the heavens, in the heavens right now? Flame of fire with your name on it. Sent by God to you. And you know what it's waiting on? It's waiting on your altar. And it's waiting on you to crawl on that altar. And if you will, God will set you on fire. And you will become one of those flaming evangelists that I was talking about. And you'll go back and help set others on fire. And you'll go back and ignite school. What's your name? AJ? AJ, somewhere the heavens in Visalia right now, there's a fire that's got AJ's name on it. Now listen, listen, listen. You ready? You ready? You're kind of like Isaac going up the mountain. Hey, Dad. I see the wood and I see how we're going to do this altar deal. I know where the fire is. But where's the sacrifice? And that's what God's telling us. You've got to ask yourself, where's the sacrifice? I am. I am going to be that sacrifice. Whew. AJ's waiting on you right now. And the heavens is waiting on you. What's your name, young man?
Caden.
Caden? Caden, you want the fire of God in your life? How old are you, Caden? 11? 11. 11. The fire of God can come to your life at 11. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't let things that are happening even now take away from you and destroy you. You hear me? God has a purpose for your life. What's your name? is it? Destiny? Well, that ought to be a good indication. Somewhere in the heavens right now, above this building. If I remember, that's cloven tongues like it's a fire. It's got your name on it. And all it's saying is, I'm seeking the altar. If she'll build me an altar today, I'll climb upon that altar. Are you getting ready? What's your name? Krishante? Ashante. You need a name like Sally. All these names now, man. I'm from the Midwest. Don't be doing that to me. It's got to be Joe or Sally. Above you right now is a flame of fire with your name on it. It was sent by God to come into your life. And that fire is seeking an altar today. What's your name, buddy? What is it? Victor. Well, that's another good name. That's another indication. Victor, you believe what I'm saying? Today, the fire wants to fall into your life. Anybody else out here? I want you to visualize it. I see it. I see it. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost of fire. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to forget your normal way of praying and just, you know, I need you to get fervent with God when you get ready to pray here. And I need you to get to that moment. Now, some of you may be here a while. But I need you to get to that moment where you know, not my will, but His will be done. And when that happens, the fire of God will fall and burn everything out that's not His will in your life. You think we can do that today? You think that's important for us to do today? All right. I can't do it for you. So no music, no fanfare. Altars are a bloody place. They're a bloody place. But now, today, God's calling you right now. Come to this altar. Are you ready to go? How about back here? Y'all ready to go? This is for everybody here today. Y'all ready to go? And let's do it right now. I want you right now to begin to call out to God fervently. I want you to build an altar. Come on. This is between you and God now. I want you to build an altar. We're getting ready to see the fire of God fall in this building. God cannot ignore the altar. You know what? Hold it just a second. Hold it just a second. I want you to listen. This just really just boom. It doesn't matter. Last thing Tom Barnes ever said to me was, I walked into his room and he told me to kneel down here and pray for him. I went to pray, and this is what he said. He said, I see auditoriums where the literal flame of God falls. People cannot deny the fire of God has come. He said, you will see those things. And I've always kind of visualized that maybe out somewhere in a crusade type environment or whatever. But I feel that for here today. So if you'd like to see and witness the fire of the Holy Ghost falling, that's how I need you to pray. That's how I need you to crawl up on that altar. That's what I need you to give God. That's the kind of sacrifice that I need you to make. Let it begin right here. Let it begin at the Western District Youth Convention. Let the prophecy of an old prophet, let it begin. Come on, now lift your voice and cry out to God.